unforgettable farewell shows. Live music, art installations, book launches, bingo, fundraisers, film and video shoots. There will never be another This Ain't Hollywood. Thank you from Lou, Glenn, and Jody. So yeah, that was the statement, and it's kind of a somber thing. But, you know, I've had a lot of time to chat with different folks this week, and I'm kind of accepting it and feeling a little bit better. So enjoy the show, and I'll probably do this for an hour every show. Just some comments from people and the experiences they had in some interviews. So away we go. Steel City Music on the Hawk.
Oh, give it all in business. broadcasting across the Steel City. This is 101.5 The Hawk.
Okay, in that set of music, you heard three artists that have actually graced the stage of This Week in Hollywood. And the bulk of the music that I'll be spinning on the show are bands that have played This Week in Hollywood. Or maybe that I wanted them to. You heard Holiday, Sugar Sugar, The Vapids with Romeo. And starting things off was Devo, Jaco Homo. Actually, the singer from Devo did present his artwork at the club, and it was a big thrill for Lou Molinaro. He was able to swing it because the guys were actually playing, Devo was playing the Burlington Sound of Music Festival, which isn't happening this year either. Oh, joy. Okay, so. All right, so I shared on the internet. You know, go to steelcitymusic.ca, contact, and if you got a memory or anyone that you, a memory you want to share with everyone about This Week in Hollywood or a band or whatever that you saw there, send me a line and something I can share with everyone. So some people have been doing that, and I've just got a couple of them here to pull up. And I got one from Jay Hickey. He writes, This Week in Hollywood, my favorite moment. In the mid-1990s, I was in an unknown band called Tarbelly. This Tarbelly kind of sounds familiar. Before starting that band, I met a good friend, Larry Reese, and we played many shows with his bands, The Retards and Spoiled Rotten. Now, one of my favorite This Week in Hollywood memories is being invited by Larry to play a song with the Garburators at the first ever Immense Crewman's tribute. Wonderful man, folks. I appreciated the invitation and the chance to celebrate one of the greatest humans ever. Since This Week in Hollywood has also been the stage I have played on the most since being in bands again after a 12-year absence. I appreciate the bar for supporting the independent music scene and giving a recluse like me a stage to play on from time to time. The Amon shows will always be a special memory, especially that very first one. And then Jay goes on to say, also, Jello Biafra. My family and I drove home overnight from Memphis to make that show. Teenage me, nor adult me for that matter, would never forgive myself for missing Jello Biafra in my hometown. Cheers to Lou, Jody, and Glenn, and all the staff who made that such a special place. Well, thanks, Jay, on behalf of The Scene Hollywood. And I'm glad that you made the Jello Biafra show, and Immense Crewman's was a great man, and we're going to have to figure out a way of doing another tribute to him. Next one is from Chris Crash. Geez, I haven't seen Chris in months. Last time I saw him, he was doing a release show up at, actually, I think at The Scene Hollywood, and he came up to the studio to promote it up at the radio station. Okay. Chris writes, the fact that Glenn, myself, Scotty Vapid, and Mark Hammer from the Steel Town Spoilers were the first band to play on the stage opening night for the bar was pretty epic for starters. Playing with Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine, Cockney Rejects, Infrariot, Red Alert, Paranoid Visions, Subhumans, Punk Rock Karaoke, Angry Samoans, and probably more I can't remember. All the local and out-of-province country bands we've ever seen or I've shared the stage with. Sue and I both really miss This Week in Hollywood. Being able to sell tickets for the club or Sue lining up shows for touring bands and displaying the gig posters on our community wall out in front of Crash Landing Music. Jamie Problem's Slam Fest were always a good Sunday afternoon out for us too. Glenn, Jody, and Lou did everything possible to keep entertainment fresh and exciting for Hamilton and all us music fans. A sad day in Hamilton music history. Rip the Saint, long live This Week in Hollywood in our memories, Chris Crash. Very well said, Chris. That's a very nice thing to say. Okay, I got to get to some more music to finish out this hour. And thanks for joining me here. We are going to hear the Rheostatics, the Letdowns, the Clash, Flaming Groovies, all of that as part of an interview with my buddy Bob. The Noble Savages with their own track about hanging out at the Saint. You'll hear Ghost doing a cover of Rocky Erickson. Living Color. And I made that crack earlier that I would really think that would be like super cool if Living Color would ever play this in Hollywood. Hey man, anything can happen, you know. Anything could happen. That's what I always say. But because I once tried to con Lou into like booking the Smithereens for like a whole week and get WestJet to sponsor the show, but he was too afraid. Because, you know, Gunnar had like one of those like super stupid crazy ideas. I think it would have worked, man. I think we could have had a nice house gig for the Smithereens for like a whole week. It would have been a lot of fun. I know we could have sold it out for the whole week. I had it all planned out, sponsorships, the whole nine yards. And then, you know, the singer passed away and just like, ah, see, Lou, you should have listened to me. We could have had the Smithereens for a week. Yeah, so there you go. Starting off this set of music, Living Color, just one of my favorite tracks, Cult of Personality, here on Steel City Music.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
The cult of personality. I know your anger, I know your dreams. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cult of personality. Like Mussolini and Kennedy. The cult of personality, the cult of personality.
everything. If you have ghosts, you have everything. You can say anything you want, and you can do anything you want to do. If you have ghosts, you have everything. One never does that. One never does that. You can call it surprise, there it is.
welcome to Steel City Music. And of course, you've probably been listening and listening to me talk about Steel City Music before this interview. I just have a habit of saying, howdy, folks. Welcome to Steel City Music. On the line with me right now is Bob McKnight, a local Hamilton promoter for years, music lover. And we've had Bob on the show before for the 3 for 30. I've known Bob since the early 90s when we used to do shows back at the Corktown, part of Steel Lore Productions. And, well, anyway, I guess, Bob, hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Yeah. How's it going there, Gunner?
Good. I haven't seen you in some time. Then again, both of us haven't seen each other in some time because we've been in this lockdown kind of state here in Hamilton, Ontario.
Yeah, it's hard to see anybody. I got on for a few minutes last night. Sean O'Brien, they had a Zoom birthday thing for him last night, so right. I saw a few people that way. But I mean, seeing anybody is, you know, you're lucky if you're walking down the street. I mean, like, I go for a walk, and if I see, you know, six people who I don't even know, you know, there's hardly anybody out there.
Yeah. Well, we have to do this because of the COVID pandemic. We understand that. So I guess the reason for our conversation is that this past Sunday, it was finally announced the sale in the media of our favorite bar in town music venue, This Ain't Hollywood. And, you and I are regular of that place. We have a lot of friends there, and I put the call out to people, you know, just to see what their memories are of the bar. And you were one of the first to say, "Yeah, I'd love to talk about this in Hollywood and some of the people that I met there."
Well, you know, to put things in words, you know, like when the club initially opened, the first time I walked into that place, I knew I was going to love it.
Yeah.
Because Lou and Glenn and Jody seemed to have just a great idea of what they wanted in a bar, and you know, it was always a very welcoming place. They put together a great staff that was all the same, very welcoming, great sound system in there. You know, I saw countless number of bands, both local and international bands that came through there.
Yeah.
And I was just reading online some of the international bands saying it was like one of their favorite places to play at.
Yeah.
You know, that goes a long way.
Yeah, you know? It does. Yeah. Both of us have seen so many shows here in Hamilton, you more than I. I will fully admit that you are the consummate music concert.
Well, I got the time to do it, right?
Yeah.
I
mean, but even over the years, you've been always supportive of live music in Hamilton, no matter what club it is. You'd venture out and go check out a show. What are like some of the personal standouts that you've seen at this scene Hollywood over the last 11 years for you? You know, I mean, there has to be some milestone shows for you, like on birthdays or special events and even like tributes to dear friends that we've lost.
Right. Okay. Well, definitely. I mean, we didn't get to do the Brian Spira tribute there, but I mean, it felt like we had moved this scene Hollywood to St. Peter's Hospital when he was, palliative. That was definitely a highlight. But as far as shows there, I think like the Flaming Groovies and Sparks and, you know, seeing bands like that were just absolutely amazing shows. And then Discovery bands, you know, like, let's see here. I would say like, Daddy Long Legs was one of my favorite bands that I discovered there.
What a crazy band, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, I was just thinking about like my favorite show annually was the Strummer tribute shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know what? They were the most like, they're such social shows and you would see people that you hadn't seen for years. I really enjoyed going to those shows a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and then we had guys like, just regular guys like, you know, B.A. Johnston, local, and Wax Mannequin, and people like that, you know, always put on a great show.
I think I think a dream bill would be if we ever allowed to have one last show mm-hmm. on my end, and then maybe you can tell me if you agree with this, or you have a totally separate, you know, bill that you'd like to see. Mm. I would love to see one last on the same bill, Forgotten Rebels, mm-hmm. B.A. Johnson, and Teenage Head one more time. Just for,
those three really that say a lot about the club.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Teenage Head and all its, you know, all the times that they had played there every night was just a rip roaring good show. Yeah. You know, and the Rebels always bring it, and then, you know, as you said, B.A. Johnson is always funny, and you know, he's just a part of the place.
Yeah. But what show would you really like to see there? Who would you like to see come back just one more time for your own personal?
Who would I like to see? Okay. I have to put a little bit of thought into that. I'd like to see, because one of my favorite shows of all time there was when the Rio Statics played.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the Rio Statics again.
Just one more time at the club, yeah.
Yeah, because I thought they, you know, I didn't see a lot of their shows when they, because they were one of those bands that kind of jumped off. I saw a few early shows by them, right. And they kind of just jumped off and went to bigger things very quickly. And when they came back and did a club show there, I think it was around, I can't remember, a few years ago, and it was around Christmas, and it was just spectacular.
Right. Yeah.
Great band.
Yeah, well, hopefully if it does happen, I mean, we never know with what's happening with this pandemic, if there's a possibility mm-hmm. of just squeezing just a couple shows in late July before the closure date. If it ever happens, that's what
exactly. Hopefully those things I'd be happy just with local bands and just seeing people, right?
Yeah.
I think everybody would just be happy. I mean, hey, well, the one band that should definitely play again is very first band. My God, the name is escaping me. The band, the Wet Spots, the guys
from the Wet Spots, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
they played the very first gig there, so maybe they should play the very last gig.
Maybe we should. Maybe, hopefully, the gods will let us have that.
Yeah,
exactly. Bob. Yeah. Thanks for taking the time for chatting with us. And I'm gonna play some Rio Statics because that's something that you mentioned. We'll dig up some Wet Spots and some of the other acts that you mentioned as well.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Thanks for taking the time to chat with us here on Steel City Music.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right. Nice talking to you. Take care.
Stay healthy.
Hey, this is Bob McKnight, and I'd like to send a shout-out to Lou, Glenn, and Jody, and all the staff at This Ain't Hollywood. And I can't thank you enough for the 11 years that you gave us. We really enjoyed everything about it and wish it would continue, and totally understand your reasonings for closing. And all the best in your future endeavors, and we will hopefully see you out and about sometime again.
for President Devon. Lately, one or two has fully paid their dues. Ha! Long get long. Ha! Long get long. Yeah, I'm working hard in Harrisburg.
Legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they called Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed. That good ship and crew was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November come early. The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and a captain well seasoned, concluding
terms with a couple of steel firms when it left fully loaded for Cleveland. Later that night, when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they bring? Tattletale sound as a wave broke over the rail, and every man knew, as the captain did too, was the witch of November come stealing. The dawn came late, the breakfast had to wait, and the gales of November came slashing. When afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind. When supper time came, the old cook came on deck, saying, "Fellas, it's too rough to feed you." At 7 p.m., a main hatchway caved in. Said, "Fellas, it's been good to know you." The captain wired in, he had water coming in. Good ship and crew was in peril. And later that night, when the lights went out of sight, came the wreck of. All say they'd have made Whitefish Bay. They'd put 15 more miles behind her. They might have split up, or they might have capsized. They may have broke deep, took water. All that remains is the faces and the names of the wives, the sons, the daughters. Maritime Sailor's Cathedral. The church bell chimed till it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. Lake Superior, it is said, never gives up her dead. When the gales of November come early,
listening to CIOI, The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
You're listening to a Steel City Music Retro Hour.
In this final hour of Steel City Music, we pay tribute to the great Little Richard, who passed away on May 9th. Oy vey, what a rock star. Screaming vocals, flamboyant. He influenced everyone in vocal stylings from the Beatles to Paul McCartney to Prince. I mean, Prince out and out pretty much kind of was hugely influenced on how Little Richard carried himself as far as fashion-wise goes. And it's true. If you look at the images and you do some reading, it can all a little bit be verified. But I always think that Prince did it was more of a wink and an homage to Little Richard more than actually ripping him off. But ripping him off would probably go towards some of the other artists in the late in the 50s that took his music and made more money out of it than he did, like Pat Boone. If it wasn't for Little Richard, Pat Boone would never have a cent to his name. Let's just be truthful, folks. That's what happened. So when I heard that Little Richard passed away, I was kind of like, ah, God, crap, and another great musical icon that we lose. But I guess that's life. That's what happens. We don't live forever. But we can also make a positive mark on the world, and I think Little Richard made a positive mark. So I put together a set of music, some of his older classics, and I'll play it on the back end. But I did find this really nice interview that was done when Little Richard was 51 years of age, and I thought I like to play other people's interviews and give them full credit. Of course, this interview was done by Bill Boggs back in the 80s. Late 80s? Yeah, around the 80s era. But it's cool. And Bill Boggs is also a musicologist of sorts as well. So I think he did a good job. And Little Richard is 51 or 52 years of age in this interview. So it was a while back. So enjoy. And thanks for having me, Little Richard.
Well, there he was, and here he is at home. Get up and applaud, Mr. Little Richard. Let me tell you about Elvis Presley called him the greatest. Smokey Robinson said he was the beginning of rock and roll. Mick Jagger admitted half of what I know I learned from watching his stage act. John Lennon says he was better than Elvis. Paul McCartney said he was my idol. Keith Richards acknowledged that he was the most exciting moment of my life was appearing on stage with Little Richard. Dick Clark simply called him the greatest rock and roll legend of our time. And here he sits.
Thank you. Nice to have you with us. Thank you so much.
And the occasion for your coming to Midday and going around is the fact that you have an autobiography.
That's right.
Which I have read
Finally.
And you know, you were even crazier than I thought. I always knew you were far away, but you were out there.
I'm out there. I'll be out there for a while too. I'm just so glad that while I'm alive, I'm 51 years old now. I'll be 52 December the 5th. I just wanted the book on the market, you know, while I'm still alive. They usually wait till you die and put out a book.
Well, now you can make sure it's the way you want it.
That's right. I wanted to smell the roses, too. You know, I didn't want them to put them on and I couldn't feel them.
You were not afraid to write truthfully about things that people would not. You weren't afraid to write about drugs. You weren't afraid to write. We'll talk about your sex life.
About rock and about my spiritual life.
Racism.
I really told it all right there in that book.
Well, let's talk about some of these things.
Okay.
First thing I want, let's go backwards. What are you doing? Other than you're promoting a book now.
Yes.
But the book promotion is over, and hopefully you got a bestseller, and you're very pleased with it. You go back to what you've been doing the last year. How have you been occupying your life on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I am an evangelist. And so what I do, I travel all over the world. I was in Jamaica.